Inside the Huddle with Sky Sports, Neil Reynolds and Jeff Rimebo.
Yes, hello and welcome to Inside the Huddle, a special bonus edition of the Inside the Huddle podcast in association with SkySports.com and NFL UK. We are sponsored by Sport Lobster. I'm your host, Neil Reynolds. We will be checking in a little bit later on with Jeff Rimebold as he weighs in with his picks for Week 8 in the NFL. And Week 8, of course, such a special weekend again for NFL fans here in the UK. We have the Atlanta Falcons against the Detroit Lions at Wembley Stadium. And as a result, I've been with both teams this week, building up to that big game. So much going on around the UK, around London with this game. We have the fan rally at Trafalgar Square on Saturday afternoon from 12 until 4. The NFL Sunday brunch outside Wembley Stadium from 9 o'clock on Sunday. And then the game, of course, differently this year, a 1:30 kickoff, which is great for fans as they look to get home at the end of their day at Wembley Stadium. So I've spent some time with both teams this week. Let's start by hearing from Atlanta Falcons quarterback Matt Ryan.
Stayed up the first day. We kind of flew in. We got in early Monday morning. Pushed through the day. That was kind of tired that day, but slept good the last two nights and feel really good today. Feel adjusted to the time and excited to get out onto the practice field this afternoon and get going.
Basically, number one defense right now. What do you notice?
Detroit's very good defensively, obviously, statistically, one of the tops in the league in, you know, pretty much all categories. I think when you watch them, their front seven is really good, really good. And they've even had some injuries at the linebacker position, but have replaced some of their starters with good players. You've got, you know, some of the premier defensive linemen in the game. Ndamukong Suh's a very good player. And you know, is playing at a high level. And, you know, we're going to have to be solid up front. We really are. We're going to have to play well up front. We have to have a good plan to account for where those guys are at. We're at a point in the season with where we're at, you know, moving forward. We're going to have to win. And, you know, we feel like we're going to have to start winning this week. And with that said, in division, you know, there's reason to be optimistic. As bad and kind of as ugly as it's been the last couple of weeks, we're still right in the mix. And you know, that's one of the reasons I think there's a lot of optimism and a lot of energy within our building. And I think guys have the right mindset. Now it's time to go out there and play the way that we're capable of in all three phases. I think at different times throughout the season, we've kind of played well in all three phases of the game. We just haven't really been able to put it together consistently. And offensively, we need to...
Matt, if you think that the last 10 minutes of the ball, when you struggle to get the ball down the field, what do you put that down to and how do you correct?
Yeah, you know, I think last week, really the first, you know, like you mentioned, the first three quarters, we were kind of out of rhythm. And getting the ball downfield, you know, we've got to do a great job both running the football and pass protecting. I think both those things kind of allow you to do some of your play action and you know, to take some more time in the pocket and throw it down the field a little bit more. But we've also, you know, when we have opportunities with one-on-ones and guys like Julio and Devin, you know, having some deeper routes on the outside, we've got to take chances at it. So we're going to make the adjustments, certainly. You know, that's a big part of what we've been here in the past. It's kind of, you know, an explosive offense, and we've got to find ways to create more explosive plays than we did last week.
You were about to hit from the arc. I don't know if you follow British football. Do you watch any?
Yeah, I saw some of the game the other night. Oh, watched Man U play the other night. It was actually a really exciting game. But yeah, I got to see some of that game the other night. I'm a fan. You know, I like watching any sport. And when it's at the highest level, you know what? I probably got first started watching football, you know, when I was in college, because I started playing the game, FIFA. I started playing FIFA on Xbox, and AC Milan was my team, so that doesn't work well here. But, you know, as far as following teams here, obviously we know some of the bigger name teams. I'm excited to head over to Arsenal today, and, you know, they're nice to be letting us go over there and kind of use some of their space, but I think a lot of guys that are bigger football fans than I am are really excited about it.
I know the other day you expressed a lot of confidence in James Stone, but do you do anything extra with him during the week as you lead up to kind of develop that relationship? And is that center quarterback relationship important?
Yeah, I think it's very important. And I think I'll preface it by saying I think James has done a great job since the first day he walked into the building. You know, I think he's a smart guy and has picked up our offense very quickly. I think Mike Tice and Wade have done a really good job of working with our young guys and bringing them along. As far as doing extra this week, certainly, you know, I think that's one of the things he and I have to, you know, have to advance where we're at in our relationship as fast as we can. So we'll spend some extra time. It's kind of nice being able to be here at the hotel, you know, 24 hours a day and to be able to sneak, you know, sneak down and watch a little extra film with him and just go through a couple things to make sure that we're both on the same page and we're both ready to go Sunday.
Yeah, with all the injuries you've had on the offensive line and, you know, you're looking at some of the numbers, you're throwing it 40-plus times a game now. What do you guys need to do to kind of get some traction in the running game to maybe set up the run action so you can go over the top?
Well, I think two things. You know, I think we need to score points early. We need to be in games as opposed to playing from behind. And we've had to do that, you know, a little bit the last couple of weeks. The other thing I think we need to do is we need to stay ahead of the chains. I think on first down and second down, we need to be more efficient so that you get into more situations that are conducive to running the football. And so, you know, we got to score some points early, and then, you know, I think we've got to be really efficient on first and second down.
Matt, what's the toughest thing for you in terms of coming out of the game so far?
You know, our organization does a great job of making things easy for the players. And so, you know, I think the most difficult part, probably the first 2 days of being over here, getting acclimated to the time difference. You know, as far as where we're at now, I think we're kind of into our normal routine of what we do during the week. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday are all very similar for us week to week. So I think guys have settled in. I really don't think it's going to be an issue. I think guys are really excited about, you know, kind of being in a different spot, a little change of venue and playing in front of what we've heard is a great crowd.
All right, good stuff there from Matt Ryan, of course, under so much pressure when you look at the offensive line of the Atlanta Falcons. They've sent 5 offensive linemen to injured reserve this year already, with the latest being Peter Carnes last week. He has been hit so many times. Last week, I think it was 5 sacks, 9 hits to the ground. So there's lots of pressure on Matt Ryan, but he's still ranked 2nd in the NFL in passing yards and has the 5th-ranked passing attack as a team. So Falcons still dangerous, even though they're wounded on the offensive line. Let's hear from another Falcon legend now, not just a legend of the Falcons, but of American football in the UK generally. If you're a fan of a certain age, you will know Mick Luckhurst, not only as the former Falcons kicker, but as the presenter of NFL's TV coverage here in the UK for so long via Channel 4. I was very, very pleased and privileged to have the chance to catch up with Mick earlier this week. This is our chat. Okay, Mick Luckhurst, we will know you, of course, as a former kicker for the Atlanta Falcons, but so many NFL fans from my age and around that time will remember you from Channel 4's coverage. And, you know, tell us about that time. It must be a special time for you to go from playing to broadcasting like that.
It was a lovely transition, you know, of playing the dream that I did and playing in the NFL, being the kicker with the Falcons, then to retire and then make the transition through Channel 4 and still traveling to see all the teams in the NFL and see my friends, stay involved with the game. It it was an absolutely amazing time. It was wonderfully professionally because it enabled me to have a transition from the game into business. But it was also, what a treat to be a part of the NFL in England.
Yeah.
The little part I played, I'm really happy about because I never dreamed that back then what we were seeing as a cult following, and it was a massive cult following, that today is a following of the NFL and the game of football.
Yeah.
So that transition, I think, is a phenomenal movement that's taken place. Personally, I would love to see a franchise here.
Yeah. Does it make you proud when you look and you see, you've probably watched from afar and seen the game sold out, and you'll see that at Wembley Stadium on Sunday. We'll have 50,000 fans packing out Trafalgar Square on Saturday at the fan rally. You know, you did play a part in that. You know, I know you're a modest guy, so you'll be like, "Wow, okay, what?" But you did. I mean, it's a fact that Channel 4 show did play a huge part in what we are enjoying now.
I don't know if it's modest. I'm not sure if it's not a reality. But thank you. I remember someone did a story about 7-8 years ago. My daughter was playing for Great Britain basketball team. And he was kind enough to write a tribute to Mick Luckhurst was the sellout at Wembley Stadium.
Yeah.
So to be even considered with that headline is a very proud and exciting moment for me. Because as a kid, Wembley was it. Was the stadium.
Cup finals on Saturdays.
And so to now think that Wembley Stadium is sold out quickly for three games, not one game. For NFL teams, I think is amazing. My other daughter, that wasn't playing for Great Britain at the time, is now works at the Tower of London.
Yeah.
And when the Raiders came to town for the first game, she said it was amazing how many Raider fans came to the Tower. And she's in the Crown Jewels, and she said it was really fun because seeing how many people and how excited they were to be in England. So it's not just about the game of football. It's the game of football is bringing to the economy.
It's people to London,
It's in a massive way. I think, you know, one of the great reasons that it could be that a franchise here and it could work is because each team that comes, there's so many people within those cities that have wanted to travel to England, see the royal family, see the castles, see the tower.
If you're going to pick a road game, you pick the London one.
That's right. So I think it's a phenomenal economic reason as well. So lots of really exciting thing. I'd be remiss to say it's also a brilliant game.
Yeah,
I'm still a fan of American football. I love the EPL.
Yeah,
and love watch it. Love rugby. Going to the US All Blacks game coming up. But you know, I'm religious about the NFL. It's just a brilliant game, and I think people here have been incredibly loyal to it. So not just people from when I was a kid doing the telly. They've hung around, and then there's new people. My brother's son is 17, doing his A-levels, and he's got like three or four mates that are doing A-levels with him in a small class, and they all love it. They love the NFL, and they watch everything about it.
That to me is the pleasing thing. I mean, you'll see it when you're at the fan rally on Saturday. It isn't just guys my age. So the guys that got into the sport the first time around, there are young fans coming up, and that's because I guess we've got these games at Wembley Stadium. Brings new fans into
that's
the sport.
Right. And the NFL is re-engaged. I don't want to say they disengaged, but I think they did. They you know, made a decision. This is a good market. There is a fan base. Let's reignite what was started in the 80s, because it was phenomenal. It was a cult following to this wonderful Americana game. And then people realised, actually, I'm a fan of the game.
Yeah.
So it became a cult following, and then they became fans of the game of football. And I think that the NFL has realised that this really has got an opportunity to be something quite different. And I don't think anyone ever dared to dream that you could have three games sell out at Wembley Stadium in a single season and their regular season games. Remember, pre-season games. This is the real thing.
Yeah.
Falcons have come over here. They're in a must-win situation playing a really good Lions team. Unfortunately, the Falcons' O-line is completely beat up. Third-string centre playing against probably the best front four in football on the defence. So it's going to be
a
struggle.
It's a game that matters, isn't it?
Oh, it's a must-win. Yeah. They're not you know, watching the first quarter and then the first team going off.
Right.
It will be a knockdown, drag-out. I don't care what the score. If it's 21-0, They've got to win.
Yeah.
And Matt is never going to give up. I love Matt Ryan. I think he's brilliant, yeah. Brilliant bloke, brilliant quarterback, and he will never lie down, and nor will any of the other guys. So they're up against it, I think, but it's going to be a fantastic game. It's a real treat. It's a treat that we're going to see, just like they did for the Raider game. They're going to see a brilliant game with the top players in the NFL playing and competing.
Mick, take us back to the days of the Icky Shuffle, Jerry Glanville. I mean, great days. We all have great memories of these shows. I mean, Channel 4, I always remember you put together great montages, musical montages at the end of shows, which were...
Mike Wilmot.
Yeah, fantastic things they were. Yeah, Dan Marino to Rocket Man. I still remember. I shouldn't remember these things, really, but I do. You were based in the US, but were you aware that you were part of something special then? Did you know that there was such a following growing in the UK?
Not really.
No.
I mean, to reflect back, history is sometimes written not from the facts, but from the distorted memory that you have. No, I do today.
Yeah.
And really, I appreciated it and loved it then, and it was a fantastic time. But reflecting back and seeing what it was, and now knowing what it represented, is really fun. Because it was phenomenal. The people that watched it were passionate.
Yeah.
And they did love the game. They loved the music. The people doing it. You know, Jim and Mike, from all the people from Cheerleader, Daryl Goodman. And I mean, there were these great people that loved the game of football. That it was so obscure that they're coming from England and coming to Atlanta, Georgia, and doing the game. And we all had a brilliant laugh. And then Gary Imlach came along.
Yeah.
Gary was actually a television bloke.
Right.
He knew what he was doing.
Actually, the rest of you are NFL fans.
Yeah,
right?
So it was really good because he actually brought a completely different look of a professional presenter and television. And I'm sure I frustrated him because I was so much the opposite. but we had a laugh, and it just changed the game, the way the game was seen here. And again, I think it's being reignited now.
What are you up to now then, Mick? What keeps you busy these days?
I've been as fortunate in business as I was in sport. I got out of the NFL, went into television, and while I was there, someone approached me about a business. And I now have two offices here in England, Worldwide Hole-in-One and Worldwide Specialty Risk, and we sell like hole-in-one insurance on a golf
course.
Like, for instance, for the NFL game, I could just as easily have a loss because the lights go out and we have to reimburse everyone for their ticket prices.
Right.
So it's event cancellation.
Yep.
Or it'd be the opening kickoff, return for a touchdown, which could easily happen with the Falcons. And then someone wins £10,000 because that happens.
So right.
We do all sorts of fun things.
Yeah.
It's on the prize side and it's on the event cancellation side. And it's all over the world. So I've got offices in Dallas, Atlanta, St. Albans, and London.
So do you get back? I mean, I was going to say, do you get back home? I mean, do you still consider this partly home?
Not even partly.
Oh, okay,
I've got five children.
Yeah.
But I come home. I come home to England, and I think I always will be coming home. And so I get home two or three or four times a year. My young sons, I've got 10, 12, and 14-year-old boys, all play what we now call soccer.
Yeah.
And they play at a good level, so we come over and we play against EPL Academy teams.
Oh, wow.
So all my sons have got to play against Manchester United, Man City, Spurs. So they play some brilliant games.
Yeah.
They've done really well.
Great
play
experience.
Arsenal, actually.
Yeah.
They're here at Arsenal today. And they play Arsenal and did really well, tied them 1-1. And then last year actually got hammered. but Arsenal's got probably the best team in the nation at the moment of that age group. They're U12s. And but they boys, they come over, they compete, tied with Man U 1-1. That team hadn't been beaten. So I'm over here for that. I'm over here for business.
Yep.
And obviously over here to see family and mum and dad. And so it's brilliant. And this is, another opportunity to come home.
Yeah, it's great to see you. And all the British fans will be able to give you a very warm welcome at Trafalgar Square, the fan rally on Saturday. Make sure people get along to that. 12 until 4. Mick, normally we would throw some mini footballs out into the crowd. I don't know if you know. I mean, not many people know this. I was the kicker for Great Britain for a while. I think I was probably a 30% kicker, 40% kicker. So, nothing in your league, but maybe we could kick a few mini footballs out on Saturday. What do you think?
Yeah, that would be a brilliant idea. I'm not
which
sure
one of us
where they'll go. No.
Or which one of us might end up on our backside.
Probably won't be where we're aiming them to go. So anyone can get a ball, come on down.
All right. Great stuff, Mick. Thank you.
Brilliant, Neil. Thank you very much.
Good stuff there from Mick Luckhurst. Very much looking forward to having the chance to work with him at the weekend. Going to be holding a fan forum together
on Saturday morning, and then he will be out at the fan rally as well. So that should be a lot of fun. So the Falcons, they're 2-5. They're down on their luck. They've lost 4 in a row. They are still dangerous. But let's flip it over to the other side, the Detroit Lions. Great win last week for them. Really good win against the New Orleans Saints, down by 13. They come back and win it 24-23. They are 5-2 on the season, so feeling good about themselves as they head into this game in London. Let's hear from their head coach, Jim Caldwell.
Coach, you mentioned the word chemistry just a couple of minutes ago. How important was it for you taking this job to build team chemistry?
I think it's very important. I think you can't win and win consistently unless you have it, unless you have camaraderie, unless you have great morale, unless you have great energy, and the chemistry between offense, defense, special teams all working together, I think it's key. And it's a very, very difficult thing. It's tough to manufacture. Sometimes it happens magically, but for the most part, I think it's done with intent in terms of putting guys in position that you have to empower the team and individuals and allow them to take their course where they feel responsible for what happens out there on the field. They feel accountable to one another, and I think with that you find that there's a great rapport that's built, and there's trust involved in that. There's loyalty involved in that. There's straightforward, frank, honesty involved in that. There's a lot of hard work involved in that as well, and commitment. So I think all of those things are in play with us. We're still, I think, in the primary stages. We haven't, played a bunch of games. We're just entering to the point where we're about the midway point of our season. And I do believe that we have things heading in the right direction. But every week there's a challenge. And, every week it's a little bit different. So we'll see how they hang together as time goes on.
One more for Coach. I just want to follow up. You said a wild supper that the concussion PAT after the touchdown. He was on the field for the last snap of the kneel down play.
Yes.
Why was he on the field for that play?
Yeah, well, they knew exactly what had happened to him in terms of he banged his head on the ground after he gets up. It wasn't to the point where they thought he was concussed at that time. And obviously went back on the field, the final snap of the game. We knew it was only one snap. Then the doctors reviewed him, took a look at him. It wasn't one of those situations where they felt he had to go in the locker room right away. But they did know he banged it when he came off, and that he was good.
Why did they not look at him then if they knew that he banged it?
Well, oftentimes in this game, we got a game of helmets, and there's collisions, and the extent of it, sometimes you don't know until the game is over with, okay? That's how it happens. Sometimes you don't know until the next day, in some situations. But that one in particular, because of the fact that, it was known, but the fact of the matter is that they didn't know he had a concussion, obviously, at that time, after the game, it was looked at and determined.
It's like failing of the staff, though, the medical staff?
Absolutely not.
Joey Bell, though, came out after the third quarter to fourth quarter break when he had his concussion and continued to play. But what changes do you need to make to ensure that those guys are as safe as possible?
I think we do a great job in that regard. I think the communication has to be open and clear. And then our guys do a great job of evaluating. They take a look at it. And I think without question, it's done the proper way.
All right, thank you.
So that's Jim Caldwell talking about the Detroit Lions. Not about to take the Atlanta Falcons lightly, but I think he must be feeling confident of getting a win here in London, given the way his team has played over the past month and the way the Falcons have kind of hit the self-destruct button a little bit. But let's hope for a competitive game at Wembley Stadium on Sunday. Now let's check in. We've got Week 8 coming up. Obviously, the NFL game at Wembley Stadium is capturing all our attention, but there are games around the league, massive games, and you can follow so much of it this weekend. Channel 4 are going to have 12 hours of NFL coverage. NFL Sunday on Sky Sports from 1 a.m. Sunday morning until 1 a.m. Monday morning, 24 hours of NFL coverage. Myself and Sean Gale will bring you the Falcons and the Lions from Wembley Stadium. And then it's Kevin Cadle and Cecil Martin in the studio for Baltimore, Cincinnati and Philadelphia, Arizona. Lots of other programming around as well. It's wall-to-wall NFL action on TV this weekend. So with that in mind, let's go and look ahead to Week 8 and let's check in and get Jeff Reinbold's picks.
This week in the NFL is going to be a huge one. There's some huge games and a lot of games that I think fans may be a little bit surprised at our pick. So let's go. We're going to start with the Chargers at the Broncos on Thursday night. This is a big, big game in that division. The Chargers 5-2, the Broncos with only one loss. Peyton Manning just coming off of a record-setting performance against a great San Francisco defense. The Chargers got beat last week. And again, I think the Broncos will continue to play at a high level offensively. They're good enough on defense. They're getting after the quarterback. So I'll give the Broncos the nod in this one. Then we move into the Sunday games. The Wembley game, the Lions and the Falcons. Two teams headed in different directions. The Lions found a way to win against New Orleans this past weekend, and the Falcons got dominated. So I think the Lions in Wembley Stadium, those Honolulu blue uniforms, I hope they wear their home blue uniforms, most beautiful uniforms in the National Football League, and a good Lions defense will get after Matt Ryan. I have to give the Lions the nod. The Vikings at the Buccaneers, two teams struggling, trying to find ways to scratch out wins. The Vikings had a heartbreaking, last-second loss this past weekend to Buffalo. The Buccaneers are trying to find just anything good, positive in this season. I think that this will be a close game, low-scoring game. Both teams play some defense. Both teams struggle a little bit offensively. I'll give the nod to the Vikings on the road in what will be, I think, a very close and hard-hitting, old-school NFL-type game. The Bills are at the Jets in a key AFC East game. Bills coming off a huge win at home against the Vikings. Got banged up at running back. C.J. Spiller out. Fred Jackson may not play. That's gonna Bryce Brown and some of those young running backs are gonna have to pick it up for the Bills. Kyle Orton's playing good enough to win. The Jets play good defense, but have a depleted secondary. I think Sammy Watkins will have a good day, and I think the Jets, even though they picked up Percy Harvin, just don't have enough offense. Again, critical game for Rex Ryan here. He needs to get back and get a W, but I think the Bills, who are still a factor in the AFC East, will go down to New York and win that one. The Bears go to New England. Boy, New England plays so well at home, and Brady's lights out when he plays at home. The Bears defense still doesn't do it for me. I'm not convinced that they've made significant enough progress. And last week, the Bears offense couldn't get the ball in the end zone. 14 points is not enough for them against playing behind that defense. So I'm going to take the Patriots over the Bears. And again, the Bears are really struggling. This is a huge game for them. They've been resilient, and when they've had big need to win games, they've done it in the past. But I just think the Patriots in New England is a little bit of a, too much to ask of that Bears football team. Seahawks at the Panthers. Again, both teams need this one desperately. The Panthers went up to Green Bay and just got dominated. The Seahawks lost a tough one on the road in St. Louis after their special teams let them down. Seahawks jettisoned Percy Harvin. Hopefully that locker room's healed up a little bit. I think that this is a game that is a big game, for Russell Wilson. He goes back down to North Carolina, where he played most of his college football career at North Carolina State, an opportunity for him to do it in front of fans and family. So I'm going to give the Seahawks the nod over the Panthers. Dolphins at the Jaguars. Again, Jags got their first win this past week, which I think is big for them. Happy for Gus Bradley and his bunch. But again, I think Ryan Tannehill is now starting to show signs of why he was selected where he was selected. The offense suits him better. They're protecting him better. The Dolphins have a great defensive front. And I think the Dolphins will get after the Jags and win in Jacksonville. Ravens at the Bengals. Again, big game, big game in the division. Bengals play well at home. Ravens are kind of under the radar right now. But when you look at the Ravens football team, they play great defense. Run the ball by committee. Flacco, if he doesn't turn it over, is a good enough quarterback to beat you. The Bengals are a little beat up. I think this one really comes down to whether the Bengals get some of their playmakers back. If they don't, I'm going to take the Ravens. And again, as I'm doing this, those guys are listed as questionable. So until that changes, I'm going to take the Ravens to go into Cincinnati and beat the Bengals in a tough environment. Texans at the Titans. The Titans just really struggling. They're a bad football team, lost to Washington last week and struggling offensively, struggling on defense, and have a long, long way to go. The Texans, on the other hand, I think are a talented team. Again, Ryan Fitzpatrick's got to play well and eliminate disaster plays, not throw interceptions, not fumble the football, and let that defense do what they do, which is control the line of scrimmage. They're great up front on defense, so I'm going to take the Texans to go into Tennessee and beat the Titans. Now, people got to understand, this is a huge rivalry game. The Titans are the old Houston Oilers, and you know the Houston Texans are the team that filled the void in Houston after the Oilers left to become the Titans in Tennessee. And there's still a large amount of animosity towards the Titans in Houston. So this is a big rival game, and I'll take the Texans to win on the road. Rams at the Chiefs. The Rams coming off of not a miracle win, but certainly a great coaching win by Jeff Fisher and his staff. Have to go into Kansas City, and the Chiefs played extremely well, ran the ball, were very efficient on offense, you know, held the football away from San Diego last week. And I think they'll continue that trend. The Rams are, you know, struggling to, you know, that 2-5, they're fighting to stay alive. But again, you look at the talent level and can they pull off two wins in a row like that, where you have to rely on big plays out of your special teams to win? I don't think so. So I'll take the Chiefs at home against the Rams. The Eagles go to Arizona, and Arizona has quietly become one of the top teams in the National Football League. Bruce Arians, in my opinion, in the last 2 years, has done the best coaching job in the National Football League. Chip Kelly's going to take his high tempo offense down to the desert. And, you know, the Cardinals have been beaten up on defense. They've lost a lot of players. Their injuries have been a factor. They've won five games with three different quarterbacks. They've shown an amazing resiliency. And I think at home, the Cardinals will beat the Eagles and keep pace in their division as the leading team in their division. Colts go to the Steelers. Colts coming off a huge win. Defense get a shutout. First time I can remember a Colts team getting a shutout in a long time. They go into a depleted Steeler team that really is struggling. Their ex-players are, you know, making comments in the media about, you know, the lack of leadership, lack of toughness on defense. I think this is a big, big game for the Steelers. They need to play well at home. Dick LeBeau and that defense have got to rise up against a great Colts offense that, you know, last week showed that they could run the ball. They didn't need to rely on Andrew Luck, but I think the Colts have too many weapons, and their defense is starting to play at a high level. They're starting to sack the quarterback at an impressive rate. So I'm going to give the Colts the nod in Pittsburgh. My Raiders that are going into the Browns. Browns kind of licking their wounds a little bit after losing to Jacksonville. And anytime you lose to a team that hadn't won a game, you know, that hurts your pride a little bit. Raiders are struggling again. The Browns get their second week in a row with a team that hasn't won coming, you know, in to play them. So I think the Browns will, you know, bounce back from the loss in Jacksonville. The Raiders on the road are struggling in every way and you know, just kind of in disarray at this point. So I'm going to take the Browns in that one. The Packers against the Saints at New Orleans, huge game for the Saints. The Saints have got to win this game to keep pace in a bad division. Southern Division is not very good, and everybody seems to be struggling. The Bucs are struggling. The Saints are struggling. Atlanta's struggling. Carolina's struggling. So for the Saints, if they could pull this off, it'd be huge for them. The Packers are really starting to exert their will over the NFC North. You know, the Packers, a big win here would help them because the Lions are playing at a high level right now. New Orleans is always tough at home, but again, as long as you've got Aaron Rodgers, I think you've got a chance. So I'm going to give the Packers the nod going into New Orleans. I know that's tough for me to say because I'm a Rob Ryan fan and I'm a Saints fan, but I just think the Packers offensively have shown that they can win on the road and they can win in pressure situations. And Aaron Rodgers, for my money, is one of the top three or four quarterbacks in the National Football League right now. The surprising 6-1 Cowboys finish up Monday night against the Redskins in an old school, you know, NFC East rivalry. These teams have hated each other since I can remember, and that's a long time. That's a lot of football games back to the George Allen, Tom Landry rivalry in the 70s and 80s. The Cowboys, you know, really have shown that they've got three really good football players on offense. Romo, you know, Witten, we talk about, and it really, he's taking a second seat to Dez Bryant now, and Murray is running the football at an incredible rate. The Redskins are, you know, Arakpo got hurt last week. That hurts an already kind of ailing defense. I think the Cowboys at home in this traditional battle will, you know, prevail over the Redskins, who really right now, I don't know who's going to be their quarterback. Colt McCoy, in my opinion, has been a guy that's bounced around the league, Cleveland, been in San Francisco, now in Washington. And usually there's a reason for that, and it's because you're not quite good enough. So I think the Cowboys win at home to close out next week's. So that's my predictions on the game. Look forward to watching all you crazy NFL fans from, you know, have a great time at Wembley and be back on our podcast next week.
All right, that's Jeff's picks for the weekend. As you know, we both already had picked Denver to win on Thursday night against the San Diego Chargers. That game is in Denver. So I'll move on and give you my picks for the weekend now. I'm going to go, it's Detroit at Atlanta at Wembley Stadium. I have to think that offensive line is a major factor in this game. Falcons are dangerous. They are potent on offense. But if you don't have that foundation, I think you struggle to move the football effectively, and that's been the case for the past four games for Atlanta. They're having to keep more and more players in to block and help out Matt Ryan. That's fewer weapons in the passing game. I spoke to Nick Fairley at the Lions this week, and he said that you have to respect whoever they put out on the offensive line because they are NFL players, but he also did admit that the Lions are licking their chops. So I am going to go for Detroit in that game. Moving on to the other game, Seattle at Carolina. I'm worried about Carolina. I think Seattle don't play very well on the road. We've documented that in the past when compared to their home form. But I don't see the Super Bowl champs losing three in a row. So I'm going Seattle there. Baltimore at Cincinnati. Bengals fans will be fuming that their team is back on TV in the UK after losing heavily to the New England Patriots and then being shut out by the Indianapolis Colts. Here's another tough one because the Bengals are they're losing some weapons offensively, and I think Baltimore are playing very, very good on both sides of the ball. So I'm actually going to pick Baltimore to win this one, although it's on the road. I think Baltimore can get the job done there in Cincinnati. Moving on to Miami at Jacksonville. Jags will feel really confident after getting that first win last week against Cleveland. It was defense-based. It was running game-based. Can they do that this week? There's no Paul Posluszny. He's gone for the year with a torn pectoral muscle. Andre Branch is out, who I thought was coming along quite nicely. So I think them facing a Miami team where Miami have come off a good win against the Bears, which wasn't very close at all. It was a dominant win. Miami should have beaten Green Bay, and they didn't get it done. And they were convincing at Wembley Stadium against the Raiders. So I think Miami appear to be finding their feet, and I think Miami gets the win in Jacksonville. So I'm going Dolphins in that one. St. Louis at Kansas City. I think the Chiefs are very, very competitive this year. I like what Alex Smith is doing. Jeff Fisher's team's always going to be competitive. The Rams will be in this game, but it's a tough place to go and play. I'm going Kansas City for that one. Bears fans will be glad that their team are back on the road. Remember, Chicago 0-3 at home this season. They are on the road against the New England Patriots. Well, be careful what you wish for. I'm going New England. I think Tom Brady and those guys in New England are not perfect, but they find a way to play with that chip on their shoulder, and they're doing it again right now. So I'm going for the Patriots in that game. Buffalo at New York Jets marks the Percy Harvin debut in the Big Apple. Buffalo are still a bit careless with the football. Jets were tough against the Patriots. It's tough to pick the Jets when they've 1-5 or 1-6. But I am going to pick them. I'm going to say New York Jets get the win against the Buffalo Bills. And I'm going because they're at home in that one. So I'm going Jets. Minnesota at Tampa Bay. Bucks are coming off a bye. Bucks have been terrible. Bucks have been a major disappointment. Minnesota have been slightly better. Only slightly. But I'm going to go Minnesota in that one. So Vikings to win that game. Houston at Tennessee. So it's the old Houston Oilers against the new team in Houston. The Tennessee Titans, of course, used to be the Houston Oilers before they moved to Nashville and became the Tennessee Oilers and then Tennessee Titans. Are you still with me? Got it. Good. Either way, Houston wins. But it's the Texans, not the old Houston. So I'm going Texans and J.J. Watt to win that one. Philadelphia, Arizona is a very interesting game because I think Arizona always seem to find a way to be tough on defense. They get just enough offense out of their team. So I am going to say that
this is tough. I think Philadelphia, probably the most potent attack, that one of the most potent attacks Arizona faced this year. Struggling with this one a little bit. Struggling with this one because I like Arizona, especially at home. I'm going to say that the Eagles, coming off that bye week and coming off big win against the Giants, the Eagles get it done, but it's not going to be easy in Arizona. Oakland at Cleveland. Oakland have shown some signs of life. I really like Derek Carr, as I've mentioned a few times on this podcast. But I think Cleveland at home, looking to right the wrongs of last week, I think the Browns get that done. Indianapolis at Pittsburgh. Colts are rolling right now. Colts on defense, Colts on offense, Colts with the running game, Andrew Luck with the passing game. Pittsburgh had a wonderful few minutes against Houston, which got them their win last week, but I still think they struggle to move the football at times. That's a bit of a concern. They're not quite the complete team and the complete contender I thought they would be. Indianapolis clearly are, so I'm going Colts to win that one. This is a tough one to pick, actually, as well. Green Bay at New Orleans on Sunday night. We always know that New Orleans is a tough place to go and play, but this Saints defense is not right. It's not right at the moment under Rob Ryan. Sean Payton and will be frustrated that Drew Brees is throwing interceptions as he did at the end of that Detroit game. I think this is Aaron Rodgers' chance to carve up that New Orleans defense. So although it's on the road, although it's in the Superdome and it's a tough place to go and play, I am going Packers to win that one. And finally, Monday Night Football, the Washington Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys. Dallas, everything going right for them. The Redskins are going to be on to Colt McCoy at quarterback. I'm sorry, I just don't see them keeping pace with the Cowboys. Dallas have proven they are for real. So I'm going Dallas Cowboys to win that one. So that's Week 8 in the NFL. And it is going to be another special one for us, as I said, at the top of the podcast. So we hope you all enjoy your time. We hope to see you, as many of you as we can, at Wembley Stadium and at the Fan Rally. Don't forget the Fan Rally in Trafalgar Square. Let's pack out Trafalgar Square again and show these teams just how passionate we are for the NFL. I'm sure there'll be 50,000 of you all wearing your different jerseys there representing your favourite NFL teams. That's from 12 o'clock until 4 p.m. on Saturday, the day before the game. And then Sunday morning, it's the NFL Sunday brunch outside Wembley Stadium. I'll be hosting that as well for a little while from 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. Don't forget to put your clocks back or you'll be in trouble and you'll get there. Do you get there too early or too late? You figure it out. I can't work it out. But you'll get there at a different time anyway. And then it's into the stadium for the game. We hope you all enjoy it. And we'll be back. Myself and Jeff will be back next week to talk about Wembley week and everything that's gone on around the NFL in Week 8. Enjoy the game. Enjoy all the TV coverage on Sky Sports and Channel 4. And we'll be back next week. This has been Inside the Huddle in association with skysports.com and NFL UK. It's a USP content production. We are sponsored by Sport Lobster, the sports social network. And we'll be back next week. Until then, bye for now.